If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. As the days of December come and go, we are rejoicing in the good things that God is doing for us here at Worth Baptist Church. In fact, last Sunday was a tremendous beginning for the final month of 1974. We believe that December 1974 will be the greatest December in our church's history, and we're looking forward to sharing with you the blessings of God during these days. If you are not attending Sunday school and church somewhere else, we invite you to come and share with us today in the Sunday School of Worth Baptist Church. We meet at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The theme of our Sunday School for this year is this: Nothing is impossible with God. We base that on Luke chapter 1, verse 37, where we read, "With God nothing shall be impossible." Now, you might have today a situation in your life, in your home, in your family, on your job, or in your business that you think impossible. I invite you to bring that impossible situation to Christ, for our God specializes in those things that are thought to be impossible. Remember, with God, nothing is impossible. Bring your problem, bring your burden, bring all of your cares and all of your impossibilities to Christ today, and I can assure you on the authority of God's Word that Jesus Christ has the answer to your question, and God has the solution to your problem. So bring the whole family today to Sunday school to study the Word of God, where the Bible is the only textbook. We are now in a series of studies in the Gospel according to John. Today, John chapter 6, The Bread of Life, Part 1. There's one class in particular that I want to call to your attention, and that is our single adults class. This class is sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. L.D. Mulder, a fine Christian couple, and they have an understanding of the needs and the problems of our single adults during these troubled days. So if you are a single adult, and you're looking for Christian fellowship, and you're looking for a place to find new friends in Christ, I invite you to come and share the single adults class meeting at 10 o'clock every Sunday here at Worth Baptist Church. And don't forget, you can bring the whole family, because there's a class for every age level, for every grade, for the entire family. And then our motto for the Sunday School is this: teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday School to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our Sunday morning worship hour begins at 11 o'clock and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. We believe today, as never before, men need to turn to Christ. The time is short. Time is of the essence. And right by your radio this moment, wherever you are, I trust that you'll resolve to put Christ first in your life today. And bring your family. And if you be the only one in your family, just come yourself today. Just make up your mind right now that you're going to be in Sunday school and church today at Worth Baptist Church, located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. I can assure you that you will find a warm welcome, a friendly and a spiritual atmosphere in which to worship God today and every Sunday at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Recently, we have purchased 14 acres of ground near the Fort Worth State School. In fact, our property joins the property line of the Fort Worth State School, just 1/2 mile north of Loop 820 at Campus Drive. And we're looking forward to building on that site in the near future. But in the meantime, right here at our present location, for Sunday school, for the services of worship, for a spiritual time of your life, we invite you to come and share today at Worth Baptist Church. Remember, our location presently is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we would be happy to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, Ignorance is No Excuse. I'm going to read from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for this Lord's Day and for the opportunity to voice the gospel. We thank Thee for every listener today, some whose hearts are heavy, some who are distressed, some who have problems and difficulties and things that they think are impossible to solve. We pray today that the Holy Spirit would warm their hearts and turn them toward Christ in this hour. And may they realize today that Jesus Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some who are alone today, they're in a motel, or they're in their home, or in their place of business, or in the car, wherever they are in this hour, I pray that the Holy Spirit would direct this message to their hearts and thrill them and excite them and give them a cause and a reason to live today. Is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. And now in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 15, Paul writes, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Spiritual ignorance abounds in the world of the 20th century, and tragically enough, even in the world of evangelical Christianity. It is appalling, it is amazing, it is astonishing how many people today are ignorant of the truth of God and the Word of the Bible. My text declares one basic truth, and I believe that to be this. God wants you to be spiritually enlightened. God wants you to be spiritually enhanced. God wants you to be spiritually educated. In these days when men are learning science and history and mathematics and biology and all the arts and crafts, I believe more important than ever before is a knowledge of the Word of God and spiritual understanding. Paul tells us in these verses that I read a moment ago that he is praying for believers, and I believe this would mean believers all over the world. I believe it would mean you right in your place of business, in your home, or wherever you are this moment. The Apostle Paul is declaring that he is praying for you to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding in the things of the Lord. I've entitled my message, Ignorance is No Excuse. If you get caught speeding today, and you're hailed into court next week, and the judge assesses a fine upon you, and you say to him, Your Honor, why, I did not know that the speed limit was 30 in that zone when I was doing 40 or 45 miles an hour, and I plead ignorance of the law. And the judge will say, in so many words, but ignorance is no excuse of the law. And my friend, ignorance is no excuse of God's law. Ignorance is no excuse. There are three things I believe we should never be ignorant about, and we need not be, as they're so plainly set forth in the Word of God. Let me share them with you in these next few moments. First of all, you need not be ignorant of God's way of salvation. In our world, there are 11 major religions: Mohammedanism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Zoroastrianism, Shintoism, Taoism, Sikhism, Jainism, Judaism, and Christianity. And I will confess that all of these religions have some things in common. They all have a sacred book or sacred writings. They all have doctrines. They all have beliefs. In fact, there are more similarities. Some five of these religions have known and identified founders. The founder of Mohammedanism, Mohammed. The founder of Confucianism, Confucius. The founder of Buddhism, Gautama, the Buddha. The founder of Zoroastrianism, Zoroaster. And the founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ. Now, four of these rulers or leaders or founders of these religions have something very much in common. They all four lived and died and are still dead. But my friend, Jesus Christ lived and died and lives again. Only Jesus Christ can say, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. No other founder of any other religion can say that. Only Jesus Christ can say, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Jesus Christ is just as much alive as God is. For he is seated at the right hand of God, where he is making intercession for you this moment. No other religious founder can make intercession for you. Because you can go yonder to the graves of all of them, but go to Jerusalem's tomb, and you'll find it empty, for Jesus Christ arose from among the dead and lives forever at the right hand of God. Religion, my friend, will not save you. You can have all the religion that the world offers today and still be lost, die in your sins, go into eternity, and spend eternity in a lake of fire without Jesus Christ. Salvation is not in the solution of a mathematical problem. Salvation is not in the calculation of a scientific formula. Salvation is not in the interpretation of a philosophical essay. Salvation is not in the application of a medical potion. Salvation is not in the execution of a legal document. Salvation is not in the subscription to a religious ceremony. Salvation is in a person, and only in a person, and only in one person. And that person is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. I read in John chapter 1 at verse 11, He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I read further in John's Gospel at chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus said to Nicodemus, You must be born again. And in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I read further in John 3:18, "He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." And in John 3:36 it is written, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Then we turn to John 5:24, where we have these wonderful words. Jesus said, "Verily, verily," or "truly, truly," "emphatically, emphatically," "undeniably, undeniably," "unquestionably, unquestionably, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And then in John 14:6, in response to a question someone asked, "Please, Lord, show us the way." Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, at verse 12. "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." My friend, there is no name under the shining sun today. And you can search the annals of history. You can go from ocean to ocean, from continent to continent, from pole to pole, from one end of the earth to the other, and you will never find another in whose name you can be saved. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart." That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever, and I'm glad that means you, my friend, right by your radio, with all of your problems, with all of your loneliness, with all of your difficulties, with all of your heartaches, with all of your sins, with all of your selfishness, with all of the misery and woe that surrounds you today, whosoever means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then Paul will write to us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Then I believe the Apostle Paul puts the capstone on it in the book of Titus chapter 3 at verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us." Yes, my friend, salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and all you need do to be saved is to trust him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I repeat, you need not be ignorant of God's way of salvation. In the second place, you need not be ignorant of God's plan for the ages. We are now living in what is known as the church age. We believe this age began when Jesus Christ founded and built and established the church during his time upon the earth. We believe this age will come to an end when Jesus Christ comes again to rapture the saints. Then comes that awesome period known as the tribulation period, that seven-year period that is described in the Bible as the time of Jacob's trouble. Following that, our Lord Jesus Christ will come with his saints. The Bible says his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives when he comes to establish his kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy and prosperity over all the earth, ruling the earth from David's throne in the city of Jerusalem. This is God's prophetic plan for the ages, and you need not be ignorant of these things. We read in Acts 15:18, "Known unto the Lord are all His works from the beginning of the world." Then there's a third thing you need not be ignorant of, and that is this. You need not be ignorant of the future state of your departed loved ones. In the world today, there are many ideas about the coming of Christ. Some say that Christ came at the day of Pentecost. Others say Christ came, or that Christ comes every time some person dies. But my friend, the Bible does not teach that. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of Christ shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." You see, my friend, there's going to be the resurrection of the sainted dead, the rapture of the sainted living, and the reunion of both as we meet him in the air. I have this footnote and I shall be through. You need not be ignorant of God's will for your life in this hour and in this moment. If you are unsaved, it is God's will that you trust Jesus Christ even now. Peter tells us that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and live. If you're unsaved, God wants you to be saved today. If you are backslidden, if you've lost your spiritual direction in life, it is the will of God that you come back and return to him in this hour. If you are not a member of the church, I believe it is God's will that you unite with God's people, identify yourself with the church in these dark and difficult days in which we live. It's been a joy to bring the gospel to you today. Let me invite you again to come and share the services of Worth Baptist Church today. The Sunday school at 10 o'clock, the morning worship hour at 11, and the Sunday evening worship hour at 7, here at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your home, and upon your family. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.